Welcome back to the Injury Pros, where today we're breaking down some strategies behind personal injury law. I'm Steve DeBonis from Credisco and Sale, and today's episode is all about visibility in this modern legal world. Our guest today is Jake Mitchell, a social media expert that helps attorneys build their brand and speak authentically to their audience online. Let's get into this. So jumping right into this, I want to pose this question. How do I go viral? Make me go viral. Make me get 1,000 likes. Make me be the next TikTok trend. Lay it on me. How can we do this? We can make this a 5-minute podcast. We're done.
All right. Well, I'll give you the short version. If you really want to go viral in a way that's not going to help your business in any way whatsoever, you can just post something stupid, a dancing video on TikTok, something like that. Is it going to get you the engagement from the right type of people, potential clients, referral partners? Maybe not, but hey, you'll go viral. So
peeling that back a little bit, what should personal injury attorneys, or lawyers for that matter, be doing to show up on social media in the first place?
Well, one, they should get started, because I see too many attorneys with a lot of potential. They do really good work. They've built their reputations, and they don't say anything online. They don't share what they've done. They don't share things that drive them, like things that their why. So the first important thing is to just get started. Just get a LinkedIn profile set up, get an Instagram, depending on what type of law you practice in, Facebook, being engaged in the community. I know it's easier said than done, and I know it's like, oh, I know it's hard, I might not have time, but it really isn't that hard to just set up an account and just start posting.
What would you say are the biggest mindset shifts for lawyers ultimately trying to make a name for themselves and put themselves out there?
All right. So lawyers, they went the 3 years of law school. They graduated the bar. They built their reputation. They're in court. They're winning trials. They're winning stuff like that. Yet a lot of these same lawyers are still afraid to post something online as if they haven't been through the hard stuff already. You guys already done the hard stuff. You've gone to law school. You passed the bar. You've built your reputation. Posting to social media is so much easier compared to that.
So in regards to social media, that's a more than bite off than sometimes you can chew. Social media, what does that mean to you? Is that limited to what we know as the players growing up in our generation? LinkedIn, TikTok, Facebook. I'm going to date myself here. I don't think MySpace is available anymore. But notwithstanding, even Twitter or X or whatever you're calling it, is there a divide and conquer? Or is it just focus on one and be the best you can be in that field? But what would you say to somebody who's trying to go through that?
A great question, and it highly depends on what your practice area is, in my opinion. So if you're in the consumer facing, like personal injury, like what you do, criminal, family law, LinkedIn's essential, but also Instagram and Facebook, and they all serve different purposes. So LinkedIn, for what you do and other consumer facing lawyers, is to get referrals and mainly build your network and engagement with other lawyers, because that's the platform on LinkedIn. Don't post your Instagram and Facebook and YouTube content to LinkedIn. A completely different audience. You keep that stuff separate. And speaking of which, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, that's the consumer facing stuff. That's where your clients are. It's not really where other referral partners are, but that's where your clients are. They're all on their platform. They're on there all day, every day. So you don't even, let me put it in perspective. There's 5 billion social media users, I believe. You only need a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of that, of the right people on there to recognize you and want to work with you to see major success in social media.
So looking and coming down from the overhead kind of view on this, you got to start simple. You mentioned when you started, just post. It's easier said than done sometimes. But if I don't know what to post, or I don't think I'm an interesting person, then where am I pulling from? How are you getting these ideas? Especially looking at some of the product that you put out and these ideas, it seems so simple, but it seems so elusive where it's not, it's basic, but it's not. So can you kind of highlight that a little bit about what am I talking about? And why would somebody want to listen to me?
All right. That's a good question. And to stem to the previous question, let's say, I will answer that in a second, but let's say you're just starting out and you're in like a consumer facing niche or something. I would just start with LinkedIn and then worry about the other platforms later. And regarding what you can post, you know, I know it's a little easier for me because I've been in the game for a while, but I mean, you have so much experience, right? You've probably had some crazy case that you've had, maybe a crazy experience in law school, if you failed the bar once or twice or three times or something, that's a post right there. You can talk about, hey, this happened, this crazy thing happened, here's what I learned from it, something like that.
What is one of the worst posts that you've seen on any of the social media realms currently?
Well, one thing that I see some, not going to name any particular names here, is one, stock photo city. So if they're on Instagram, they're just posting stock photos, no videos, posting once a month or something, and it's just like a picture of like someone who slipped and fell or something. That's like one of the worst.
Starting basic and simple, in a sense of posts that aren't successful, can you kind of give me an itinerary or a list of red flags? Don't do this.
Okay. So I'll start with LinkedIn. So what I like to say all the time is with LinkedIn, you don't want to sound like a corporate robot, but you don't want to sound like a full-on diary either. I'll see either or, like one on the extreme end of one or the other, where one's just is venting everything. Oh, woe is me, stuff like that. That doesn't really work with getting referrals and stuff on LinkedIn. And also on the other hand, I see just corporate robot, no emotion, stone cold, nothing whatsoever. And I don't recommend that either. There's like a spectrum, and I would recommend somewhere in the middle of that, between the full-on diary to the corporate robot. You don't want to sound like either. You don't want to sound like something in the middle. You want to have personality and you want to show that, but you don't want to be like, you don't want to vent all your problems. And that's especially not good for, if you want to get business on LinkedIn, people are just going to scroll past that.
So in engagement, what does that actually entail? Because when I say engagement, in my mind, from a personal injury attorney side, I'm thinking share, likes, comments. And at least personally, when I go on to YouTube or Facebook or LinkedIn, I love when the trolls come out, and we'll get a little bit into when the trolls come out. But in regards to engagement, I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm doing it wrong or right, when I like or when I respond, that's driving engagement and pushing it to more people.
Correct.
Or it could be all the alternative. It's just simple sharing. What are you looking for, and what have you seen on each of those platforms? Specifically, we'll stick with LinkedIn from a sense of engagement. What type of engagement churns LinkedIn? Is it shares? Is it liked? Is it a combination of comments? What's going on there?
So what I've seen on my end, it's kind of a combination of all three. If a lot of people like it, if a lot of people comment, and especially if a lot of people share it, that tends to make the platform do well. LinkedIn will see, oh, wow, this content's being shared by a lot of people. Let's share it to more people. And that's kind of how posts go viral on LinkedIn in a nutshell. And yes, likes, comments, shares, that's all important, especially if like, you know, want to get your name out there. But what's most important is what you develop from those posts. So I'll give an example. You could post something that on LinkedIn, it gets a million impressions, but you don't get any, no business comes from it whatsoever. It's super viral, but nothing comes from it. Or you post something with 100 impressions, but someone messages you, hey, I have this client and I needs personal injury or something. Like some thought leadership post that doesn't really do well. That's the type of engagement that you want to go for, is the people reaching out to you.
Is there a rhyme or reason while in the two scenarios you just gave either of those happen? Or is it just happenstance? The planets align on that given day. People are, you can really go down the rabbit hole here. Are they posting at 8 a.m. versus 12 p.m. when I'm drinking a coffee in front of my office getting set for the day? Or I'm at lunchtime and I'm out with friends just doom scrolling, as they call it?
So I think I'll give you all some game here. I think the best time to post in the day, at least from my experience with myself and clients, is either early in the morning, early afternoon's fine, but usually early in the morning and sometimes late at night, because people are on their phones, like winding down for the day on LinkedIn. So I recommend those times.
When you say early morning, are we talking to some people who I know, Michael Sale out there will wake up at 4 o'clock because he just breathes the fresh air and the quiet, whereas I'm sleeping in with the newborn till 6:30, counting every second I can get. What does the morning mean for you?
Yeah, that's relative. I would say anything between 6 a.m. to, this isn't any set in stone thing, but let's say anywhere between 6 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., ideally.
Now, you mentioned a lot about the post being deep, vulnerable, kind of opening yourself up to life experiences, but you don't want to be like a robot. What would be your advice to people out there who have an idea, and then they go to ChatGPT or one of these other AI sources and put that emotion into it? Are they playing with fire? Are you seeing people get burned more times and they're successful on that? Or kind of walk me through what your knee-jerk reaction is to AI.
So I think using ChatGPT and other AI software to write your posts is great. However, you can't just use it, like, you can't use it blindly and you can't 100% rely on it. I actually talked about this in a post the other day. What I see a lot is, hey, ChatGPT, write this post about literally the most generic thing ever. Spit something out, boom, post. That doesn't work. Got to put your personality into it. You got to put a lot into the prompts of it. So, and you want to revise it, right? Whatever it spits out, probably not going to be great. So don't post that. You want to go and revise it. Like, hey, let me sprinkle my personality in this part right here or this part. And it doesn't exactly know by itself, unless you train it, it doesn't really know the mechanics of how, like, what makes a post do super well. It thinks it does, but not really. You kind of have to train it in a way. It doesn't really know how to do the hooks in the right way unless you tell it how to do it. It doesn't really tell you how to make it most vulnerable and stuff. So you kind of have to know how to use it to get the best result.
Now, is that something that is learned over time and is evolving? Or is it something that if I wanted a blueprint to being a PI attorney or anybody out there, any listener at all, that's like, hey, I want to dabble my toe in the social media and have a presence and be an influencer, the blueprint, and I'm not saying divulge all your secrets, but the most basic level of understanding what it takes. Obviously, you need a cell phone. Obviously, you see people out there, especially on my TikTok or my LinkedIn or my Instagram, of people I follow, they're posting a lot each day, or they're going live, or different things are happening, but sometimes it's cringeworthy, but you want the cringe. So what is the recipe if I'm building it? And I know we talked about this a little bit already, but the simple basics in the most simplest terms, do this, don't do that, or do this, sprinkle in this, to kind of make a concoction where you're giving yourself the best success at succeed. Because when I go on LinkedIn, I'm trying to add different people from different environments and walks of life. Many times on LinkedIn, my network is connected to other attorneys or nurses or experts. It's not necessarily that referral partner unless I'm typing in New Jersey attorney personal injury, New Jersey attorney family law, and making that connection with them. It seems like it's very difficult, at least on the outside looking in, to kind of make that first step and understand where you're going. Because I feel like if you jump into it and you muddy the waters too quick, it is overwhelming.
All right. So I'll lay down a quick blueprint where someone who has no social media at all can go from not having it at all to start seeing results with it. So number one, as I said before, if you're a consumer facing personal injury, family law, criminal law, get on LinkedIn right now. If you don't have an account, which people watching this probably do, but setting up an account, post something, just start with something, as I talked about earlier, start engaging with people. And speaking of engagement, and this is something that I see a lot of, that kind of destroys a lot of people's reputations, but kind of hurts it, is the AI comments. So let me give an example. Let's say someone posts something, and what they'll do is they'll put that post in ChatGPT. I was like, hey, write a comment. The most generic comment ever, copy, paste, boom. People can tell that. I've been in the game so long, they could tell when someone does that. So when you do that, I mean, for some,
it seems like it would almost take more time to do that process than
write an actual comment.
Than write an actual
yes.
comment. And I'm pretty sure sometimes even on LinkedIn, they'll give you suggested responses.
Yeah, it's like, well said, or yeah, great insight. Don't use those comments. If let's say a big player, big lawyer in the game posts something and you're like, oh, great insight on every single one of their posts, what are they? They're not going to be interested in. If you leave genuine value comments, again, don't go full on diary, but don't go full on corporate robot. If you do that over a consistent time frame, and that's another big part of this, is like anything, consistency, right? It takes a few years to graduate law school. It takes time to graduate the bar. Same thing with social media. It takes time to build your social media presence, start building actual relationships with people and getting that up there and start to see results with it. Results don't come immediately. I mean, they can be expedited with how much effort you put in and if you know what you're doing, which is what we're talking about here. But like anything, it takes time.
So I personally go on TikTok a lot, and I've been developing my kind of presence there, per se, in a sense of just adding people and posting consistently as much as we try to. I even know we do some like AI stuff on Fridays that are just funny.
Yeah.
And some things that you think will take off just fall flat on their face, while others that you're like, this won't be that great, skyrocket to the moon. With that being said, though, I look at all these trends is there certain trends that you should hop on sooner than later? I mean, especially you mentioned dancing. Obviously, I'm not a great dancer. Yeah. My wife will tell you the same. I'll step on feet and I won't be a pretty sight by any means. But how quickly are these trends fading in and out? And how are you able to get a grasp on those, especially when you're not using your phone all the time? You're not on, it's not in your face, it's not everything going on. But ultimately, to make sure that you're catching the wave and you're able to get that sail up in the wind.
All right. So just to clarify, if you don't want to dance on TikTok, you don't have to dance on TikTok, just to clarify right there. And what I like for attorneys when keeping up with current trends and stuff is not really to follow any of that, the TikTok, Instagram, that kind of stuff, but rather current celebrity news and legal news. So I'll give you an example. So Karen Reed, I forget how you pronounce her last name. Her trial just ended. She was found not guilty. And that's a great content topic for lawyers. We posted about this with one of my clients and did really well because everyone's talking about it, right? It's a current event. So for my advice here is just to look at the legal news, the celebrity news that has to do with legal stuff, like people getting sued and stuff. And most people aren't qualified to talk about this, but lawyers are. Most lawyers are. So you could talk about it and you could be seen as an authority. That's an easy way to catch some.
What's the attention span of a person? I know personally when I'm looking through TikTok, it's a flick. And if I'm not interested or something isn't catching my eye within the first 5 to 10 seconds, it's all gone. It's out of my brain. Unless my brother or a good friend of mine is sending me a post that I might have missed. And I was like, oh, I saw that one. Let me actually look at it. What is keeping me? Because in what you just mentioned in regards to the Reed case, that would be something that personally, if I saw someone talking about it, I'd be like, all right, I'll just go to whatever news outlet and look at it. Is there something stupid you should be saying in the first 5 minutes to grab attention? Is it something that is in the background? And maybe I'm trying to make this so black and white that it's not black and white, and that's the struggle. But is there something that should be done to capture the attention of, especially with people nowadays, who you only have a few minutes or even milliseconds to capture their attention and keep it?
So that's a great question, and it depends on the platform. So for LinkedIn, usually I found that people have longer attention spans. You can write a little more. But with TikTok, and this what I'll mainly talk about is, yeah, you got to catch their attention like right away. Instagram, Facebook, but especially TikTok, attention span has dropped significantly since TikTok has been mainstream. But one thing that I really recommend is to nail your hook. So I'll give you an example. Let's say that I was an attorney, and I started with my video with, hi, my name's Jake, and today I'm going to talk about what you could do after you've been arrested by a DUI. They're going to flick past that. Sure. It's like, hi, my name's, they don't care. They don't care who I am. Unless what you could do instead for a good hook is like, here are three things you could do after you get pulled over. Something like that. It catches their attention right away, and they're going to be, oh, okay, let me see what they said.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful because I know, especially when I'm building my brand with Credisco and Sale, but also trying to find my own self, Meatball, my beloved Bernese Mountain Dog, has been a large part of that. And many times his attention span is quite small. But you also, what I struggle with is I want people to know that if they're sending us a case or they're sending us a referral, I'm a serious person. I'm going to treat that case like it's a family member or a good friend, like we do every case that we get. But I can have fun too. Meatball can be a blast. I can be a blast. And what I've always found, at least developing my brand and talking with my team, is I'll do the funny stuff, but am I sacrificing other referrals or am I sacrificing another audience member who might have was on the cusp of sending us or reaching out because I'm doing something stupid? Because myself, when I'm looking through TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, all the social media, I'm looking and saying, well, that's cringy. I would never do that. And I'm being judgmental. I think with social media, you have to allow yourself to be judged and judge as well. What do you say to somebody in a situation like that where like they're like, hey, like, am I burning bridges instead of making connections? What does success look like? How do I know I'm doing this right? And then you go into a tailspin, and before you know it, they don't want to post anymore because they're so worried about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't really be worried about that in most cases, unless someone is just completely off the rails, which I haven't seen anyone on LinkedIn recently be like that. There's really humor. Humor's great. I recommend diving more into the humor because humor sells.
But it's interesting you say that though about off the rails. So it's almost like, and especially in this PI field and influencers too, you get the people like Mr. Beast who go crazy and are giving money and throwing money at people and they're doing ridiculous stuff. And then you have conservative people who are just recently, I won my TikTok, they're writing names in sand as they go live, and they clear it, and the next person comments, and they write it, and it's meditative, it's relaxing, and all these things happen. So you sit there and you go, but the guy who's going crazy and going off the walls is getting hits and getting all these things, and everything's happening with it. What is the negative part about that? If I go down that route, am I married to it? Because if I pivot, then people are like, well, you're a phony, you're a fake, you're a sellout, and that will transition us into trolls. But what are your thoughts on that? Because especially when there's many roads to be taken, and once you begin to develop a presence in the social media field, people are going to call you out on it if you dip and weave. So how, in your position, when you're trying to brand somebody and you're trying to guide them, when do you tell them to pivot? When do you dip? When do you dodge? When are these things taking place? Because I don't think that there's a little signal that goes off, or a little somebody's tapping you on the shoulder saying, pivot, pivot, pivot. So what is your thoughts on that?
A good detailed question. And what I would, so let's talk about the Mr. Beast and all those creators. Well, they're doing that. They're usually doing that just for clicks and likes, right? You can do something completely off the rail. I mean, I'm not judging them at all. This is completely different than being a lawyer.
Sure.
But we'll just talk about them for a second. But they do this stuff mainly for clicks and for likes. But let's say a lawyer just, like, I mean, completely off the rails, starts posting the craziest content, not in a good way. And they get tons of likes they get a ton of engagement. I mean, yeah, that could get them some clients and some business. But is that really a good long-term strategy?
So when does the long-term strategy begin to pan out? Are there benchmarks that you're talking with your clients about, or that people that are dabbling and new into this field can start to self-reflect and say, this isn't working, I need to translate? Is it a six-month window? Is it a year window? What time period are you at least giving your clients in the social media realm of success versus, I hate to use the word failure, but it ain't working?
All right, so that's a great question. And usually you really start to see results. Like, let's say your account's inactive and you start going from completely inactive to posting, being active, that type of stuff. I mean, I've seen clients get these results in a month, but realistically, I would aim for anywhere between 3 to 6 months of just seeing. But that's for like revising your overall strategy. And let's say your posts, like, obviously when you start, your posts aren't going to get much engagement, and not that engagement's everything, but if you're posting something every single day and it's getting zero likes or one likes, yeah, maybe you have to reevaluate what you're doing there.
And in regards to, I know LinkedIn kind of tracks what impressions, obviously those impressions are driven by the engagement, which we touched on earlier, but is it hashtags? Is it something that else that you can kind of add a little spice, as I think Salt Bae would say, to the situation to ultimately get out of that rut? Because I think one thing that we can agree on is it only takes one post. It only takes one post to go viral where you start to get that flood of people. And especially when clients or potential clients are coming to you and they're saying, hey, Jake, I'm paying you money. I want to see a result and it ain't happening. Or how do you manage those expectations, and how are you talking with a client to prepare them that, like you said, you're going to get zeros before you hit the big one. And you may not hit the big one immediately, but it will come in time.
All right. So I'll first state what the Pareto principle is. And as you all know, 20% of something yields 80% of the outcome. That does kind of apply with social media. I've seen that, especially with engagement and that type of stuff. But yeah, regarding what you said about clients and getting results, one, I let them know beforehand, yes, it does take time. However, what we're doing is going to expedite how long it takes, but it still takes time. Make sure to set that realistic expectation, and to set that realistic expectation for everyone. If you start now, it might take some time. It may take a few months. It may take longer than a year, although I doubt that it would take that long if you're consistent and you put a lot of effort into it. But it takes time, like anything, right? And what's most important is, yes, I know I touched on this earlier, is, yeah, the post engagement's going up. That's typically what we see first, but what's most important is people are messaging us for referral relationships, maybe even clients. We've actually had actual clients message us on LinkedIn, which is kind of rare, but that's a clear telltale sign that even if the posts aren't doing well in a specific week or 2 weeks, that we're still getting results from it.
Because I know what I saw in preparation for the podcast and our conversations is our team behind the veil are always looking for talking points, but also just understanding what we're talking about. Your engagement on LinkedIn, the post that you're talking about, everything that you're saying is consistently supported by the numbers of these particular people. You see the engagement jump. You see that almost you want to get in on the almost like you're selling stock. You want to get on the ground level, and your stock skyrockets once things start to go. With that being said, that's a lot of good and green flags. But what about some red flags that you would say just stay away? You mentioned earlier stock photos make you cringe. When you go on your LinkedIn or TikTok and you see something, and what makes you just want to throw your phone across the room?
So that, and also the AI comments that I mentioned, the just generic copy paste. I see it all the time. And also the posts that, I mean, for some situations it could be all right, but I mean, full on copy pasting Instagram, Facebook, YouTube content to LinkedIn every single time as if the audience on LinkedIn is the same. And I mean, like on months at a time, every single post like that. That makes me want to throw my phone across the room, because LinkedIn, like I said earlier, LinkedIn is a completely different platform. So if you're posting your consumer facing stuff, let's say you're posting a video saying what to do after you've been pulled over, you're posting that on LinkedIn to a bunch of attorneys who already know that. That doesn't work.
So you would say don't muddy the waters and kind of develop a persona in each of those fields.
Yeah. I mean, your LinkedIn should be like almost entirely or a large percent different than what you post on the other platforms. Like I said, LinkedIn is world's different.
Because I know personally what we do sometimes is we develop these videos and we'll reshare them on LinkedIn.
That's fine.
But we'll add an extra blurb to it, or make it at least the individual directed for the particular audience that we're looking for. But I do see sometimes where it's like a link within a link, and before you know it, you have eight tabs open and you don't know what you clicked on to begin with, because they have these embedded fields of each of these things, which I can see is very frustrating. From a standpoint of what I try to do every day is I'm on LinkedIn. I'm looking at comments. I like to engage with people. I welcome the trolls more so, because they
kind of drive up engagement.
They keep me in line though, and I love it though, because when we first started this many years ago, they would tell me that I had a parting hairline, and I like to think that my hairline has come back with vengeance for many reasons of that. But they're also keeping you in line and straight and narrow. You have to check your ego and your conscience at the curb, because you don't want to engage and go too far down to say that off the rail thing, but you want to be educational. You want to inform them, and you want to talk with them as if they were a client, because that's what's important. And I think knowledge is power. We say that here all the time at Credisco and Sale, knowledge is power. But sometimes that from A to B is almost intercepted by these trolls. What would you say to somebody who's getting more trolls on their posts than actual engagement?
One, whatever those trolls said about your hairline, I think your hairline's fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
Two, most of 99% of what trolls or haters or keyboard warriors, what I like to call, they have keyboard warrior syndrome.
Okay.
Most of them opinions they're not valid. Like, let's say someone, you post something and someone is so mad about what you posted, they attack you personally. That's weak on them. That doesn't say anything about you. It says anything about them. And what I recommend for most people is usually just delete, block. If you let those comments come in, like the hateful troll comments, you might get one hateful comment and then 99 good comments. You're going to focus on that one bad comment. So that's why I just recommend, in most cases, to delete or block them. You can come back with a clever clapback if you want, but most times I wouldn't recommend putting your time and energy into it.
And where do you find your inspiration? I know we've talked a lot about social media, but more so you. How does one get into the social media realm? Talk to me a little bit about how you've kind of found this path. I mean, I've always known I wanted to be a lawyer and an attorney, a litigator, but I feel like you don't wake up one day and you say, hey, I want to do social media outreach. I want to help these individuals. I want to brand somebody. I want to create a new look for each person. How did you end up where you are today?
So it's a great question. So I come from, a lot of members of my family are lawyers, and I've always had a love for social media because everyone's on it all day, every day. So I was like, hey, if I can help people, if I can help myself optimize their social media, this is just the Cliff Notes version of it, but everyone's on social media. So like, hey, you know, let's capitalize on it for my clients, for myself. There's so much opportunity. If you can get someone's attention, because we live in an attention economy pretty much, if you can actually capture people's attention on social media, that is invaluable. So I thought that very early on. I was like, hey, I could do that for myself. I could do that for my clients. It's been really good so far. It's been it's the really short summarized version of it.
And what is your continued education kind of look like? I mean, obviously there's the Harvard classes that are advertised on how to talk with people and communicate, but what are you doing on a daily basis? Are you getting some coffee and kind of just scrolling through and educating yourself on what's working or whatnot. How are you remain in the know and at the top of your game from a personal injury standpoint? We're going to San Diego and beyond for traumatic brain injuries. We're educating ourselves. We're going to seminars. We're talking with experts. We're learning the diagnostics. And it's tiring sometimes. How are you doing that on the social media side to make sure that what you're saying is actually legit and ultimately something that someone can hang their hat on?
So part of my job or what I do is basically research, because I'm on social media all day, because for what I do for myself, what I do for clients, so I'm always looking.
What is the recommended, or I should say sponsored, headache medicine for strain eyes and migraines from being on social media? Is there a particular one that you favor? Ibuprofen, Tylenol, off brand.
Well, what I recommend is, if you do what I do, you're staring at a screen for hours a day. So what I like to do is go out, get some sun, do some grounding, go to the gym.
So all natural remedies.
All natural. Okay. And also, like my honey.
Okay, honey. What the listeners wouldn't know is that Jake brought us some honey. And from local honey. And if you don't know, local honey is great for allergies. You actually eat the honey, put it on whatever you want, your yogurt, and ultimately it helps fight off allergies, which I have the worst of, and stuffy nose, runny eyes, and everything, and that, and some. But as I was saying, going back, what you're doing from a research standpoint, are you going just account on each of them? What is kind of your backdrop look like?
Okay, so let's say I'm working with a family lawyer. So what I'm going to do is, as I said before, I'm just going to go on my feed and I'm just going to see what's working. I'm going to go down, do some research. This family lawyer's post didn't work well. Scroll down until I see something that is really good. Either it gets a lot of engagement, or there's just something to it where it's just really good. It's like, hey, I like this, I like that angle. I like what he started with. Something like that. I want to take note of that and apply it to what I do.
And how quickly... Because it seems like, at least in the social media world, things, when you have to strike when the iron's hot. So how quickly are you doing that research, flipping it over to your client and saying, we got to post this, we got to jump on this, you got to do this, you got to do that kind of? Is that a week, day, hours, minutes?
It's usually a few hours. I usually get on it pretty fast.
And now, are you kind of like the ghostwriter behind these, or the attorney still has to be involved? Or are they just handing the keys saying, rev it up?
So yes to both questions. Those are two great questions. And yes, I do ghostwrite, but also the attorneys that I ghostwrite for, there's a lot behind it. For most of the time, I'm not just writing something post without either knowing who they are or what they want to say.
So what would be your favorite? These are just going to be some quick questions. What is your favorite social media site that you believe is the easiest to get in on a ground level and see success quickly?
LinkedIn.
Because it's interesting you say that, because from a LinkedIn standpoint, I always think that my LinkedIn is kind of like my Facebook. And I think that it's like the business Facebook.
Kind of is, yeah.
And that's what people have said. But I also struggle sometimes too, because I always see people, and maybe it's a good thing or bad thing, like posting verdicts, or their nurses are posting podcasts. And it's a very crowded space to stand out. Where I find on TikTok, it's easy just to kind of catch the wave and go. Or YouTube, especially the YouTube shorts.
Yeah, that's easy to
get. It's easy to get in there on that. So what would you say is your least favorite?
My least favorite? Well, probably Snapchat, but most lawyers don't use that. And I would say second is, I'm not a huge fan. TikTok works, so I'm just not the biggest fan of it.
What's your thoughts on Twitter or X? Because in my mind, Twitter is a big one where if something happens, it's kind of like the Citizens app that's been on the rise, where if there's an event, people are talking about it. I always, when there's a serious life event or a serious security threat or whatever it may be that I want immediate answer, even a baseball game, I go to Twitter or X, whatever they're calling it nowadays, just so I can get that information mainstream quicker, because people are tweeting and kind of going at length and talking about it before even the baseball game updates ESPN app.
Yeah,
I have thoughts on that.
I completely forgot about X for a second. And I would say that, though that and Snapchat obviously are, for most lawyers, don't worry about X.
All right. So at Cudisco and Sale, a little bit pulling back the veil for us, we're lucky enough to have an in-house social media coordinator, amongst other things. His name is Mr. Alex Lurch, and he does a fantastic job at everything he does, even this podcast. talking a little bit about, what do you think about law firms that are like, hey, I can't spring for that in-house person, or I can't afford it. What would you kind of be your call to action to them on how you can help them more at a scalable level or most approachable?
So yeah, that's a great point. And I think most mid-sized, not really someone just starting out, they may not have the time and resources for it, but a firm that does, like a mid-sized firm or a large firm, I absolutely do recommend having someone in-house, like full-time, or hiring someone fractional, a fractional social media person like myself, because lawyers are busy, right? Going to trial, doing depositions, that type of stuff. They don't really have time, or they don't want to put it in the time because they want to delegate the social media to someone who lives and breathes social media. So for a firm that absolutely has those resources, maybe not just me, but anyone, right? Like this is a social media. We live in social media.
Sure.
Everyone's on LinkedIn, everyone, like as I was talking about earlier. So I think it's really invaluable for a firm that can afford it, have the resources and the time and the willingness to put in the effort to make it work.
What's the minimum amount of time that you think a firm, if you're advising them, should commit to that social media? Because I know you mentioned if they can't afford full-time, there's that kind of, I like to call a la carte, in a sense. What would be your recommendation to at least X amount of hours a week or X amount a month? If they're looking at their budget, and attorneys alike that watch this and they're opening up their accountant book and they're saying, all right, I can afford X. How many hours would you think that they should be spending on that help if they're really serious about getting their brand and being seen?
Okay, so regarding hours, I mean, it differs for each week, but I would really say for a mid-sized firm, because what we're really doing, what I'm doing with the firms I work with, it's the main thing that takes up the most time is just filming the video content and giving them the ideas and me doing the editing. That really takes the most time. And I could say that could take anywhere between, I mean, it could really just be like 3 hours a week, really. And that's like on the high end. It could be even less than that. What we do is just mainly, as I said, the video content, if we're working for Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, that's going to be like the main strategy. So what I would do is just give them the ideas. We'd brainstorm the ideas together. I would tell them how to film. They would film the videos. That's really the majority part.
And then with that being said, why would they choose you over someone else? In a sense of just selling yourself. I had Ari on here, Ari Sliffman. He's an attorney. He's a mediator, an arbitrator. What makes it different? And I always like to bring people on and talk with about that kind of catch my eye and are doing things similar to me, but also kind of off the beaten path. So if somebody's looking in social media world and they're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I want a social media expert. Why would they pick you? If it's from an attorney standpoint, I'm telling them a litany of things. How would you say to them and how would you sell yourself that I'm better than the rest and this is why?
All right, so you want someone who is in the know of the legal profession and has been in it for some time, and that absolutely includes myself, because what works for legal specifically is very, very different from what works in other industries. Yeah, there's same principles that apply, but you kind of have to know it, especially if you're working with different types of lawyers, right? Personal injury, family law, criminal defense. I mean, it's all similar, but they all have their nuances to it. So you want someone who knows those nuances and knows what strategies work. So as I said before, how LinkedIn is a completely different platform. A lot of people in social media, and they don't know that. They're going to just post that Instagram, Facebook content to LinkedIn, and it's going to bomb because it doesn't work.
So here's the selling point right here, and we'll close on this. Give me a post for LinkedIn idea or a video of some sort with Meatball or just myself that I'm going to implement or attempt to implement, because we're filming here on a Friday, that I will implement within 72 to 48 hours.
All right, the cuff. I want you to talk about on LinkedIn one of the craziest trial cases you've ever had, with client confidentiality and all that. I want you to talk about the craziest thing that's ever happened to you in like a trial, in a case, something like that. Start with a really good hook.
Okay.
Start with something that catches someone's eye off, that catches someone's eye immediately, then get right into the nitty gritty, then end with a lesson.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll have to hope Alex is listening, because he's going to have to help me with that. But nonetheless, it's been a great time. Thanks again for tuning into the Injury Pros. If you're an attorney looking to stand out, or a listener seeking just real insight into the legal world, we've got you covered. Be sure to check out more episodes at injurypros.com. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform or catch a video on YouTube. Until next time.